Hello. Congratulations on making it this long. Have you been drinking deep? You don't want to admit it, do you? We all have been. My name is Brady Gaster. For those of you that missed the Signal R talk or the Dev kickoff, and if you were in either one of those, I hope you enjoyed them. I surely did. This is my first trip to Australia. I want to thank you so much for having me here. I've really enjoyed it. Kind of sorry to leave tomorrow. I can imagine nobody really likes leaving Australia, huh? Today I'm going to talk to you about a couple of my favorite topics, Windows Azure Websites and ASP.NET, and Service Bus, and Windows Azure Storage stuff, just a little bit of storage. And then I'm going to do something I've actually never done on stage. So you may get to see the fieriest demo failure of all time. It's kind of a surprise, but I'll go ahead and ruin it for you. On Tuesday, you may have heard that I work for the Azure SDK team. It's our team's job to basically make it easy for you as a programmer to access Azure assets in any language that Azure supports. So today I'm going to show you a demo using Java. When Maz and I talked about this, he said, why do you want to show Java at TechEd?
I don't know.
But I asked Andrew about it, and Andrew said Java's a reality. Anybody work in an enterprise that Java runs in? Anybody work in an enterprise that you don't want to manage all those IIS servers? Okay, cool. I'm going to show you how to solve that problem today. All right, moving right along, a little bit of introduction to me. My name is Brady Gaster. I am a program manager for the Windows Azure SDK. Best way for you to find me is on Twitter. Second best way for you to find me is at my blog, bradygaster.com. On that blog, I talk about a handful of things, Windows Azure websites, SignalR, spice it up with some Connect every now and again, and Web API. Those are kind of my areas. And you'll probably see me start to blog about things related to the Azure SDK whenever man in the red shirt says I can. If you want to email me, feel free to email me. If you want to ask me about something like, you know, how do I deploy a VM or a media service, I'm probably going to forward you to Corey or Meng Fei, because I don't know the answers to those questions. I don't want to waste your time and not much time exists for all of us. We're all pretty busy. So I'm a pretty good email fielder. So if you have any questions that I can't answer, I know people who can. So feel free to bounce an email off of me, and I'll see what I can do for you. I've gotten a couple of emails about my SignalR talk since I did it. And I'm going to get back to those immediately. Trust me. Personal information. I have one wife, two sons, two chihuahuas. I have two guitars and three microcontrollers that I never play with because I have a job, one wife, two sons, and two chihuahuas. So I'm pretty busy, okay? So, and I won't do my chihuahuas are for tough guys joke because Mads always laughs at me when I do it. So I'll just leave that one alone. But enough about the date. I'm going to go ahead and dive into the talk here. So does anybody know the names Anir Mashkowski or Yohai Kiriati? You ever heard those names? That's the principal PM and the PM of Windows Azure Websites. Okay, those guys are kind of in charge of Windows Azure Websites and IIS. So if you have any questions about those topics, you'd want to bounce an email off me, and then I can bounce the email off Nir and Yohai. But a long time ago, a year ago, I had a conversation with Nir because I was in DPE. I was an evangelist, and my gig was Windows Azure Websites. So I talked to Nir, and I said, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? And he said, I need you to go out into the world, and I need you to tell the audience that Azure Websites is not a toy. He said, everybody thinks it's for blogs, for CMSs, for WordPress, for startups, things like that. So there are all these myths about Windows Azure Websites, things that we know that it can do, but that it can do a heck of a lot more than this. Nir said, go out and tell people that websites is not a toy. So I want to clear up a few myths about websites. All these things are completely untrue. These things are not true. Websites is not a toy. It's a tool. And it's a tool that's perfectly capable of helping you build your enterprise. You get it? There was a Lego block on the previous screen. And all right. That's a little bit more laughter than I get in Europe. So I just want to point out that you can build pretty much whatever you want. And the reason that you can do that is we have a middle tier. We have a messaging subsystem. We have oodles and oodles and oodles of storage up in Windows Azure. You can use all those things from Windows Azure Websites. Heck, you could use all those things from your on-premise environment. Sound familiar? That's why you're here, right? You want to learn how to do this. So what we've seen is that since last June, when we introduced websites, we see a lot of customers doing this, dipping their foot in the pool. And the way they dip their foot in the pool is they want their website to run in the cloud. They don't want their database to run in the cloud. They don't want to move their middle tier to the cloud. They don't want to manage all those IIS servers because they want to have that web scale, but they don't want to pay the real estate costs. They don't want to pay the rent. They don't want to pay the electricity. They want to take their web presence, put it in the cloud. There are many seats open. Feel free. I don't want you to get tired, pass out or anything. So there are all these different things that you can do. Okay, when you mix and match all the different pieces of Windows Azure, you can actually glue it back to your on-prem environment. Okay, and we're going to talk about one way that you can do that today. I've been an enterprise consultant. Anybody else in here an enterprise consultant? Bandit? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. You've done this before. You're data pushers. You push data into Scott's database. That's what you do. Your job is to make sure the data gets into the database. Enterprise is boring. You don't want to talk about the traditional data pushery when you're talking about enterprise dev. I wanted to make this talk a little bit interesting, so I wanted to come up with a scenario that was still enterprise, still end tier, still showed you how to put all these different pieces together from all your different prems, your different places, but to do it with Windows Azure websites as your web front end. So what I did was I came up with this idea of enterprise pizza. Everybody orders pizza, right? In the States, we have Domino's. I don't know if we have Domino's over here. Mads and I were hanging out at Mads' house, and we're sitting there, and I'm like, I'm hungry. What do we want? And he says, let's order Domino's. And I went, that's the idea for my demo. So we ordered it, and we were watching it online. So I basically recreated part of that experience using this. The GUI is not nearly as good as Domino's, but then it's just me. We don't have an arsenal of designers at our disposal. So it's going to be kind of ugly. We're going to have square pizzas today. We'll say it's Sicilian, okay? So here's what we do. Here's the scenario. Customer orders pizza from the website. A message is sent to the corporate enterprise, to the enterprise pizza enterprise. Why would we want to send it there? Because we want to have a log of how each store is doing. And we want to build a credit card. And we want to do this. And we want to do that. Then I have to send a message over to the pizza parlor location to tell them, hey, you just got an order for a pizza. You need to make it and get it out to the customer. So now we've got at least three premises. If Enterprise Pizza is successful, and they will be because they're running in Azure, if they're successful, then this is going to be, you know, N times however many parlors they've got. Pizza places. Your parlor is kind of a bad word in other places. But lots of pizza joints, put it that way. Now they get the order, they make the pizza, and then they create the deliver the pizza. The customer is going to see in real time, that's a hint as to what technology I'm going to be using, my other favorite technology, Signalar. We're going to show the customer the status of their order in real time, but in addition to that, we're going to tell, hey, we're out of pepperoni. We're out of anchovies. We don't know why we're out of anchovies, but we're out of anchovies. In the States, that's going to happen a lot today. You guys know what today is in the States? Opening kickoff for the NFL season. There's going to be 10 million pizzas ordered this afternoon. All right, so we want to let the corporate office know, dude, I'm out of pepperoni, ship me some more. And we also want to reflect on the website, hey, we're out of pepperoni. If you order a pepperoni pizza, you're probably not going to be very happy with our service. So I want to basically keep all this stuff in sync. Anybody ever had to build an architecture like this? Does this look familiar? Do banking? Got banking centers? Got corporate office? Tax offices? Da-da-da-da-da. Got all kinds of stuff going on out there. All right. Here's how we're going to achieve different pieces of this. So this is going to be a story session. We're going to tell a story of the evolution of this architecture through a series of demos, and then I'm going to throw you that Java curveball that has nothing to do with pizza. So this is one I just came up with yesterday in the hotel. So the pizza parlor location, it's going to subscribe. There's going to be an application that wakes up inside the corporate enterprise, and it's going to subscribe to a service bus topic. The same thing is going to happen in the pizza facility, in the pizza parlor. This guy is going to say, give me all the pizza orders that haven't been processed at all. This guy is going to say, give me all the pizza orders that I've received that haven't been done yet. Why would we want to do it in that order? This guy has to build a credit card. Then he has to send it over to this guy. So there's a step here that has to happen before we get to the step here. Now, we also have the website. The website is going to publish a message. Here's a new order. Just got a new order for a pizza. It's going to be received by the corporate enterprise. Corporate enterprise is going to save it into the database. Then it's going to republish that message. There are quite a few seats if you want to come on up. Don't worry about being rude. Happens to me all the time. It's going to publish that message back to the topic. And since that message has already been dealt with by the corporate office, the store is now going to receive that order and process that order. Process that order meaning spend the dough, pour the sauce, da-da-da-da-da. So that's when we're going to kind of work through this workflow. And as we move through these demos, we're going to be doing each additional piece of this, and I'm going to show you how the architecture will evolve. Sir, do you have a time card? Do you have time cards in the back? Cool, good. Let me know. I tend to run long. So. All right, so I'm going to flip over to my computer. You'll see here's the Windows Azure portal. Those in the back, can you see everything? Let me zoom in just a little bit here. Is that visible enough? Everybody cool? Have you seen the portal before? Who's seen the portal before? Oh, I'm so happy. All right. So I'm going to open VS 2012. This solution will work in VS 2013 because we have that back port, so everything will work. It's all good. But I'm going to pop this open real quick. You see here our demos over here. I'm going to go ahead and fire up Zoom it. I always forget to. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to open up my service bus topics demo. And this is just the first part. This is the website saving stuff to a topic, and then everybody's subscribing to it. And what I want to do real quickly is I'm going to show you the different components. Now, the website is going to be sending messages into the topic, but we're going to be saving the messages into the database, and I'm going to be doing that using Any framework. Our favorite ORM. So what I'll do here is I'm going to go ahead and open up the domain. I'm going to do this in the object browser because it just makes a little bit more sense that way. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll show you this domain. And this is pretty much, I'm going to have available ingredient. And that's just going to be the ID of the ingredient, whether or not it's in stock, and its name. I'm also going to have ingredient selection. I like to go crazy with my domain models. This is what topping is going to be on a pizza. At the very top of that, I'm going to have a pizza. So a pizza has sections, because my wife doesn't like pepperoni, so that splits into two. She gets the pineapples, I get the pepperoni. You guys ever have this problem in your house? Okay, you know what I'm talking about, right? So I'm going to divide my pizza into sections, and then a section is going to have ingredients, and that's going to be a collection of the ingredient selections, and then a pizza order. Going to have a couple of different pieces, like when it was ordered, has it been ordered, has it been received by the store, when it left the building. Does that make sense? Any questions about the domain model? It's because you've all ordered pizza, right? Okay, sort of makes sense. All right, now I'm going to shrink that down. And on top of that guy, I'm actually going to have a data access class. And it's very, very simple. It's basically just the enterprise pizza data context. And then all the different domains that I'm hanging off of it. Now, I've already scaffolded this database right here on my computer. So I'm going to go ahead and hit F5 here. You'll see we have nothing in the database. No mysteries in the database. Now, think about this for a second. Let's take a look back at that object browser. I'm going to ask you a quick question. Based on the architecture that I've described to you, what do you think is the only thing that needs to be in the database on the website side? What? No. The ingredients. That's the only table that you really need on the website side. Because the website database doesn't save the orders. The on-prem database saves the orders. Have my website, have my enterprise, all my secure data is over here. I want to send all my data over and save it over here. The only thing I need in that database is my list of ingredients. So I could basically create a script that'll just insert the ingredients here, as long as the IDs match, wink, wink, everything's going to be okay. So you got to be careful with that one, but we're not going to talk about data integrity at this point. That's a different conversation that Scott Klein does a much better job explaining than I do. Now I have my website. Now this website's kind of ugly. It's real simple. It has one button. It says fire random order. I'm not a designer. That's my wife's job. Okay, so what I want to do real quickly is I want to open up this home controller, and I'm just going to kind of skip through the code. And what I'm going to tell you is that I have created a couple of utility classes that I'm going to use through this conversation. I was talking to one of my new friends last night, and I said, how well do you know Surface? He's pretty well. I said, how well do you know WCF? He's like, really well. I was like, okay, well, the way this talk works, if all you do is web, you get an introduction into Service Bus. If all you do is WCF, you get an introduction into websites. So it's kind of like the perfect middle ground between web guy and Service Bus guy, enterprise guy. So I'm not going to go very deep into either topic, but I'm going to show you what's possible if you're one of those companies that wants you to dip the foot in the pool just by putting your website and having web scale in the cloud. So in my controller, I basically just return a basic view, like I said, with a button on it. Then I've got this method called create random order. I just new up a GUID or GUID, create a new pizza order, get the list of available ingredients directly from my database. That's important, because we'll get to that in a minute. Now I'm going to randomize a number to say, hey, give me 4 pizzas. And then I'm going to iterate over my ingredients and randomly add ingredients to my pizza. And at the very bottom, I'm just going to fire that order off. And then I've got the sample order page that does the create random order. And if I go right here, you'll see that I have this helper class, Service Bus Topic Helper. That's setup, and setup is basically it reads some stuff from the web config. Whoops. And what it reads from the web config are these 3 guys. 3 small app settings that are basically how I'm going to make my outbound connection out to Service Bus. I need my owner, I need my key, I need my namespace. And I'm going to show you that up in Windows Azure in just a minute. Anybody use Service Bus yet? Service Bus, those hands that are up, topics, relays? Cool, awesome. So you haven't used Service Bus, but you have used Service Bus relays.
Just relays.
Okay, cool, just relays. All right, so that's that. And this guy right here is really just for the client side. I'm going to take that random GUID that I just created, and I'm going to inject it into the page because I'm going to do some stuff with it later on when the demo actually gets interesting. Okay. Now, the reason that I've given you this little helper class right here is 2 reasons. There's a little bit of code involved in subscribing to a topic, publishing messages to a topic, and da-da-da-da-da. At the end of the day, topics are what? PubSub. So what I've done is to basically create this dumb class that Clemens probably hates, that I just knew up an instance of my Service Bus helper, and I can call one of 2 methods, publish or subscribe. Now in this guy's case, I'm going to be calling publish, I'm going to throw it my order, and I'm going to set a couple of properties on that Service Bus message. One of those is ordered, and the other one is received by store. Now you may notice that these are properties that I have on my domain object. You have to set the properties like this explicitly, because Service Bus reads from the message properties, it doesn't look at the object. I'm only telling you that so that you don't bloody your forehead the way I did. Over and over again. Why doesn't this work? Why wouldn't it inspect it? I asked Clemens, and Clemens was like, you're an idiot, these properties. Okay, great. So, you have to set those properties because that's what Service Bus is going to look at during its, during the subscription process. Now, over here, I've got this internal worker app. Let's call that a Windows service, or if you want to do everything in Azure, a worker role, cloud service. So I've got this guy over here, and what he's going to do, this first demo is where we really go into the code deeply, just so you kind of have a setup for the rest of the demos, and then the rest of the demos just kind of build on top of this. So if I scroll down here, you're going to see that I'm going to new up an instance of my program class, and I'm just going to kind of give the user some feedback, and right here I'm just going to call program subscribe. And if I go this, you'll see that I'm newing up an instance of that class again, calling helper.subscribe, and I'm subscribing to a type of pizza order. And when I get that order, I'm going to new up an instance of my database context. I'm going to save that to the database, and you'll see what I do right here at the very end. I actually change one of these properties that is ordered to true. This is the corporate office saying, yes, we know this pizza has been ordered, and no, the store has not received it yet. so that when I throw that message back up into the service bus topic, the store, which has subscribed to the same topic, but only wants messages that have not yet been received by the store. So you see what's going on here? You've sort of got workflow. We were talking about BizTalk last night. This is like BizTalk in code. Not quite as elegant, but nonetheless. All right, so it's basic pub sub directly through service bus. All right, now what I'm gonna do next is I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna show you this order billboard app. Now let's say, I'm not gonna open it up because it's XAML and like XAML's so awesome to look at in an editor, right? Except for the phone guys in the room, sorry, no offense. That designer works better. So what I wanna show you is that this order billboard is literally the thing on the TV screen so that the 16-year-old kid making the pizza can see what pizza he has to make now. That make sense? Do you need any depth on that one? It's pretty simplistic. The code is almost exactly the same as it is for the first one, because I used that helper class guy, and I could walk through that code if you want to see it, but we'll do that offline. Now, in this guy, the app is going to wake up. He's going to call the same sort of setup guy, but you see here, when he does a subscription, he's saying, I want the ones that are not received by me yet. So I want you to send this over to me when I haven't gotten the message yet. And then I'm going to add the order to the view, which right here I've just got a pretty simple MVVM view model. And those of you who've done Windows programming before, you know the dreaded error message of, like, you wanted to update the UI from another thread, I'm going to blow up now. Okay. So the only reason that I've got that invoke async there is so that we don't get that dreaded error message. Anybody familiar with that error message? Yeah. Sucks, doesn't it? Okay. Love threading. Now, I have to start these individually. So what I'm going to do first is I'm just going to select my website and I'm going to hit F5. Now, I'm running this locally, but before the end of the day, at the last demo, I'm going to publish this out to Windows Azure websites. I've already got the site created. I just haven't published anything out to it. So I'm going to run most of this locally just for the sake of time and just kind of cruising through stuff. At the very end, I'm going to publish it out, and we're going to see the same thing happen, but it's all going to be from cloud to local. Okay, so I just want to point that out. It's not smoke and mirrors, it's laziness. Okay? All right. So I've got that guy running, and now I'm going to right-click this guy, and I'm going to say debug, start new instance. And this is the Enterprise Pizza corporate application that's just listening for incoming orders from the website. I'm going to hit debug here. It's just a simple console app. I'm subscribing to the service bus topic. Once the subscription has actually occurred, it's going to say, okay, waiting for orders. There we go. Type Q to end. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to right-click the order billboard, do the same thing, debug, start new instance. Now, what I could have done in here is to set all those projects to run when I hit F5 so that the website will run, and then this will run, and then that will run. But later on, we're going to be hosting a WCF service in that website, and sometimes that hasn't actually been started up when the other two apps start up, and they reach out to the website to talk to the service. Guess what happens? All right, so I have to do them manually. But you can imagine if you have three different enterprises, those apps are going to be running full time. All right, so now what I'll do is I'm going to minimize this guy, go over here to my website and get everything kind of visible. Got my fire off a sample order. Click the send button. It's going to spin for just a second. It's going to create my random order, throw that random order up into the service bus. If you think about it, this is kind of the demo within a demo because I'm sending a message up into the cloud from my local. It's going into the cloud. It's coming back right here. He's sending it over, and I'm getting the pizza right here. You like that? Is that groovy? Cool. This is going to go well. Okay. What is wrong with this scenario? Don't answer, Klein. I can pick on him. We used to share an office. Everybody has to have access to the database. So in this particular example, the website talks to the database, the corporate app talks to the database, and the pizza parlor talks to the database. Why would I tell you about distributed prem when everybody has to have access to the database? What do you think we're going to do now? We're going to start building APIs. We're going to start building WCF. Okay, now I know WCF is like, configuration, oh my God. But we're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to be using the service bus relay WCF binding. And what that does, for all intents and purposes, is your application wakes up, and it hosts your WCF service. And then it says, I want the URL, the endpoint of my service, to be in service bus. So whenever you want to send a message to me, as long as you can hit the internet, as long as you can hit service bus, you're going to send a message in the service bus, and then service bus is going to relay the message back to me. So I'm hosting it, but the URL is out there. Why does that make sense? What do you not have to do in that circumstance? Poke a hole in your firewall. All right, so here's what we're going to do now. We're going to run out of pepperoni because it's NFL opening day. So the inventory service, I got to control my inventory. Got my site database here. The site is going to host a service in the cloud that clients can call. But the URL for that WCF service is not going to be my website. It's going to be in Service Bus. All right, so this guy, the pizza parlor location, is going to hit the service bus, which is going to relay the message over to the inventory service. He's going to pull the ingredients list. So now, this guy doesn't have to have the ingredients list. We can have a copy of it in both places and have the orders in one and all the other stuff on the cloud. This guy is also going to pull the ingredients list because he wants to know when this guy runs out of pepperoni. So this guy says, tell me what you've got, or this guy says, I'm out of something, and when he does, the message is actually going to go all the way back over to the internal office. And the internal office is going to say, store 793, is out of pepperoni, send out the trucks. Does that make sense? Is that realistic? Cheesy? Get it? Cheesy? Hosting services and websites with service bus relay endpoints. Longest name of a demo ever, right? Go ahead and close this guy down, and I'm going to fire up demo 2 for you real quick. Not there. I should probably just go to my folder where I have everything. Right here. Now, we're going to extend the architecture just a little bit, but it's not going to be that much to grok. It's really not going to be that complicated a concept to grok, especially if you've done WCF. Anybody done WCF? Anybody good at it? No, really, is anybody good at it? Do you feel like you give yourself more than a 3 out of 5 in WCF abilities? Nobody. You do? Okay, cool. It's not that hard. The configuration's a little bit hairy, but once you get used to it or you start using the tools, everything is good. So what I'm going to do in this guy is I'm going to open this up. I want to show you my web config file. Maybe. Okay. Now, if I scroll down here, what you're going to see is that I have a WCF guy that I'm going to host right here. So I've got this website inventory service, and he implements the iInventory service interface. I'll show you those interfaces in just a moment. The address is a service bus URL. So it's a service bus URL, and you'll see right here, tech@enterprisepizza.servicebus.windows.net. As long as you can hit that, you're going to be okay. Okay? So what I'll do at this point is I want to go back over to the portal, and right here is my service bus namespace. I'm going to click that, and that's my namespace, and what you'll see here is that I've got the pizza order topic. It's just a topic that got created by default whenever I actually use my service bus helper class. All right? So there's my topic. There are no relays out here yet. Now let me show you what those interfaces look like. If I go over here to my infrastructure guy, service contracts, that's a new project that I just added to this guy. You'll see that I've got iInventory service, and it's decorated with your traditional service contracts and your operation contracts, really not that big of a deal. I'm a request response freak, so I like to build objects to represent my conversation. I have a personal rule on when you add the second parameter to your method, there will be a third and a seventh. And a 19th, make a request object. That way you only have one. What do you call that? No breaking changes. Make sense? You don't have to change your signatures. You don't have to add overloads. Your code doesn't get messier. You have an object that comes in, an object that goes out. All right? So there's that guy. Now, if I go down to web here and I look in my infrastructure project, you'll see that I've got this website inventory service. He implements that guy. And look what he's going to do. He's going to access the database, but he's only going to do one thing. He's going to tell you what ingredients are available on the site. If you can imagine having multiple stores, you'd probably have to add like a store ID here so that store ID 47 is out of pepperoni, et cetera, et cetera. But you get the idea. This service is going to live in the website, and we're going to host the endpoint of that service in the service bus so that both premises can get to it. Okay? Now what I'll do is I'll close this guy down, and I'm going to go through the process of running everything again. And in this situation, this is when the website has to be running first. But since your website would be running in the cloud, it's kind of a given. It's just going to be out there. It's just going to be running. Now, once the website spins up, Global ASAX is going to run. I'm hosting an instance of that website inventory service from the config file in a service host in my web application. And you see that's taken a little bit longer now because the internet connection here is great. Okay? It has to reach out to Service Bus and say, I have this service here. I want you to let me hit it from there. Let's party. So the conversation takes a little bit longer to happen because the reach out has to occur. Now, if I go back over here to my portal, look at there. Now I have a relay. That relay is hosted here. If you wanted to, you could hit that WCF service right now by accessing Service Bus. If you can do that in the next 5 minutes, I will give you Mads' shirt. Okay? So you could do this right now. You could actually access the service right now. I've already given you the URL. If you took a screenshot, you'd be good. All right, so I've got this running. Now I'm going to go here. I'm going to run the internal worker app one more time. He's going to fire up. He's going to reach out and do a handshake with Service Bus. He's going to subscribe to that. He's going to know where that WCF service is. He's going to start receiving messages from it. And now I'm going to go over here and I'm going to run the order billboard. And this is the guy in the pizza parlor who has to tell the central office that he's out of pepperoni. This may take just a second to start up as well because he's got to reach out and do that handshake with Service Bus over a relatively slow connection. That's not a complaint. But I won't say it again, maybe. Oh, and by the way, just so you see that this is actually working, let me go into my database. Now we have an order. So we have an order, a couple pizzas, a couple sections in each pizza, a couple of ingredient selections, et cetera, et cetera. I forgot to show you this after the last demo rant. So there you go. Now look at there. We've got this running right here. Let's see if it comes back. Is it going to come back? Maybe. Should be showing a message right here. I might not have wired that one up yet. Yeah, I haven't wired that up yet. This is to show you that this guy is reaching out to the database, the WCF service, and pulling stuff down, pulling down the list of ingredients. If I were to send an order in right here, it's going to pass all the way through again. You've already seen that demo. If I send it again, you'll see the message pop up in here, and then the message will come over here and pop up. What we're going to do next is we're going to give the guy over here the ability to say, I'm out of mushrooms. So this guy's not getting his pie. So somebody in the central office has to call him because the people in the store don't call the customers, right? Like developers don't talk to customers. You ever heard that? So that's an implementation of both guys being able to reach out to that inventory service. If I were to have gone into the website code, you'll see that the website is still just accessing the database directly. All right, moving right along. Now we're going to do the relaying. That's the guy, that's the client application in the store making a call out to the WCF service and getting the ingredients back, but we haven't done anything with it yet. Here's what we're going to do next. The inventory service is going to be hosted on the website. Then we're going to host a second implementation of the inventory service in the on-prem app. We're going to say, no bacon? Oh, no. We're going to let that guy know, and we're going to let that guy know, too. So at this point, somebody in the central office is going to get an email because store number 42 says, I'm out of bacon. He tells my inventory service. The admin is notified, send out the trucks. The website is also hit using the same service interface, but a different implementation of it. And he's going to make a change in the site database that says, don't let people order mushrooms anymore. So now we're getting into the multi-tier, all through the cloud. Now we're going to host services in on-premise apps with Service Bus relay endpoints. Real quickly, I'll flip back over here. I'm going to close this guy down and open up the next demo. Anybody see how we're building on this? Now see, I've shut down. Did I shut down IIS? IIS is not running anymore. If I were to hit F5 here, since I have stopped my website that was running right here on my computer, if I hit F5, let this refresh, you're going to see that that relay vanishes. The relay is no longer going to be in the portal. The topic is still going to be there. See, the internet here is, would you stop tweeting? Really? Okay. Once this refreshes, we'll have no relays. I'm going to go ahead and open up the next demo, though. Not going to wait for it. So now we're going to host that WCF service up in the cloud, and we're going to host an implementation of that WCF service in our on-prem app as well, in the enterprise on-prem app. Let me go back to the portal. See? Relay's gone. Once you shut down the app that's hosting the WCF service, the relay of which is up here in Windows Azure Service Bus, your relay has no purpose. There's no one to talk to, so the relay just goes, it's gone. Guess what? When it's gone, what are you not doing? Paying for it. So you only pay for what you use. Put on my marketing hat for 4 seconds. Now what I'll do here is I'll go into my internal worker app. This is the corporate office. If I open this guy up, the corporate office inventory service, he implements the same guy. He's going to be able to get the ingredients list. But in this guy, I've actually implemented the toggle ingredient availability, just like I did in the other one. But in the one that runs on the website, I actually update the database. In the one here, I send out the truck. I send out the pepperoni truck or the anchovy truck. All right? You understand that? Any questions about this so far? One interface, two implementations, two locations, one cloud. Got it? All right. So I'm going to go over here, run my website. Sorry, this is a little redundant. You start to go to sleep, it's okay, it's Friday. You've been drinking deep. So let my website spin up here. While it's spinning up, I want to go back over here, see if the portal does update. Maz asked me the other day, he says, why doesn't the portal use SignalR? I said, I don't know, ask Vishal. Vishal's the portal guy, okay? So if it was using SignalR or SignalR, since I'm an Australian, Damien's from Australia, I think this might update a little bit quicker. You know, I have a couple of ideas on that, but I don't work for the portal team, and I'm not going to fight that fight. But it'd be cool if it used it. Now, see there? He just got the message that that relay is running. So that service is running. He needs a relay to run. He's all good. Now I'm going to go over here. I'm going to run my internal worker app, which has another implementation of that same WCF interface. And while that's running, because it takes a second for it to spin up here, I'm going to go ahead and fire up the order billboard app one more time as well. Let that guy open up. Let me see if the enterprise app is up yet. I'm going to start the inventory service. He's going to reach out to Service Bus and say, hey, I've got this guy. I want to host it over here, and I want you to relay messages to me whenever somebody hits the URL that I'm telling you to run. If I were to show you my app config right over here, we'll see kind of the same code. There's my WCF service implementation. Here's the corporate office inventory service. And here is my WCF configuration. I'm basically telling it I have this behavior, and I want you to use... Which one? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong one. I want to look at the binding. Look at the binding. Right. Where did it go? Right here. Net TCP relay binding. Here's a little quip. When you see that word relay in the name of the binding class, that should trigger to you to think, this is a WCF service, the endpoint of which is going to be relayed from Service Bus. When you do install package, Windows Azure.ServiceBus, the NuGet gods are good to you. They go ahead and they add those WCF extensions to your config file automatically. Yay. Yay, Jeff Hanley, NuGet team. It's a good thing. Okay, so you don't have to worry about adding all that out there for yourself. Now, I've done everything I'm supposed to do, and looky there. Got my website inventory service hosted, and I've got my corporate office inventory service hosted. So now both those services, one in the cloud, one in my corporate office, are both endpointed up in Service Bus. As long as I send the messages to Service Bus, those messages are going to bounce down and land where they need to land appropriately. Now what I'll do is I'll go over here to my order, and I'm not going to submit an order. Trust me, it'll work. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But what I am going to do is I'm going to show you what would happen whenever the guy in the office is like, oh no, we're out of pepperoni, it's NFL opening day, what are we going to do? I got to tell the store, I'm going to turn off pepperoni. God, I hope the store responds. I hope they can help me out here. The first hit takes a second, sorry. Store's out of pepperoni. So I do this one again. Store's out of onions. Oh, thanks for the shipment. Thanks for the shipment. See what's going on there? Now the cloud really isn't even involved. The website doesn't even really matter anymore. Now, if I were to submit an order, it's going to go through the topic. So you've seen two pieces of service bus here. We got the topics and we got the relays. Whenever an order comes through, it's going to come through the topic subscription, publish, subscribe. The other stuff, the inventory stuff, that's what we're doing in the relays. Does that make sense? Any questions at this point? Cool. All right. Moving right along. Have I bored you to death yet? That's a nice way of saying yes. All right. Now, real time. Who likes real time? Don't be modest. Who likes real time? Okay. Here's what we're going to do now. We've got another service, the order status service. The service endpoint is hosted in my website with a service bus relay endpoint. The pizza parlor is going to say, hey, your pizza's ready, or I've just put the sauce on. I'm going to send a message up to the website through the relay. Now remember, we might have one pizza store, we might have 103 pizza stores. So each pizza store is going to have their own situation. They're all going to want to communicate up to the website. He's going to call the order status service, and the customer is going to see that update in real time so that they know what the status of their pizza is. Yes, we stole this from Domino's. Don't tell anybody. Okay? Now, show you how all that works. Updating web users in real time from on-premise apps. Anybody in my SignalR talk? You heard me say something during that SignalR talk. Once you play with SignalR, what does it make everything look like? A nail. Okay? SignalR makes everything look like a nail. You give me any scenario. I don't care what it is. Oil drilling. It doesn't matter what it is. I will find a way to get SignalR into that demo. Okay, so I've done that in this guy. But I'm doing that because I've got a WCF service hosted in my website. It's very important that whenever I get a message to that WCF service, that I let the user know something is going to happen. I just want to basically cycle back, pop up a message off of a hub, and never the wiser. It just lets the user know that everything is money. All right? So it's really, it's a gimmick. Like the Kinect thing and the microcontroller thing and just about every other demo that I have. All right. So I'm going to go back over here. I'm going to open this guy up from my AWS on-prem. Open up my real-time updates. And we're going to take a look at our service contracts project here because I'm going to add one additional interface to the service contracts guy. And that's going to be the iOrder status interface. So here's my iOrder status interface. I've got one method, send order status. So that's the pizza place sending a message to the website to tell me the status of the order. And again, I'm a freak for request response objects. So I'm going to send it the client identifier. That's the GUID that I create on the website side just to kind of identify me later on. The order ID, I could probably just do it with a cookie and the order ID. And the status. So I'm just going to have a string that just tells the user what to do. Slightly silly demo, but kind of gets the point across. Go ahead and do this. And now I'm going to go over here to my web app. Look at the infrastructure guy again. I'm going to open up the order status service, and you'll see that he implements iOrder status service. And all I'm doing here, since I'm hosting that WCF service inside the web context also knows about all the SignalR hubs that happen to be running on that site. So I can say globalhost, that's microsoft.aspnet.signalr.globalhost. This is kind of the abstraction in SignalR that hosts everything. .connectionmanager.githubcontext, order status hubs. .clients, and in this guy I'm actually going to hang group off because I only want to send a message to the user whose pizza order, you know, I lost my words there, but you get the point. Like, I don't want to tell you that my pizza's ready. That would be bad. You'd be like, I didn't order anchovies. All right? And I'm just going to call the status updated method on the client. Now, I'm not going to take a really deep dive into SignalR. I did that the other day. But what I'll do next, so I'm going to go over here to my views. I'm going to open up sample order. And if you haven't looked at SignalR yet, show of hands if you've not seen SignalR at all. Okay, cool. I'll walk through this a little bit slowly. How am I doing on time, sir? He's got his headphones on. Pardon? When am I supposed to be done? A half hour. Oh, psh. I could tell you my life story in a half hour. All right. So I'm going to scroll in right here. And this is basically the way SignalR is going to work. SignalR on the web client side is nothing more than a jQuery plugin. So I'm going to say I want to create a hub connection. That's going to make a connection back to my SignalR hub. Let me open up that hub for you real quickly. Got hubs right here. Order status hub. Don't want to do a deep dive into SignalR. But I've got a hub class, and he's going to extend the SignalR hub class. And I've got a method on him that's listen for updates, and I'll pass it a client ID. Now, I don't think that I actually even call that method from within my order status service. Yeah, I don't. I just do status updated. So this is one of those situations where I could actually do this. I don't have to put any code at all in my hub. I could just leave the hub empty because both sides know the same lingo. Both sides know what's going on. All right. So in this guy, I'm just going to call status updated that hangs off that group. Zoom in here. And what I do next is I create a hub proxy back to that particular SignalR hub. And then I start that guy. And then I'm going to invoke listen for updates. I guess I do need to pass it that. Darn it, I forgot about that. And right here in my on, this is going to happen whenever this runs. So I'm going to get a message from Service Bus, which originated from the on-prem, from the pizza parlor, and he's going to tell me what the status of the order is. He's going to hit this implementation. This implementation is going to turn around and make a call into a SignalR hub. Let me actually uncomment this code because I forgot about my starting. That guy is then going to, the web page is going to basically invoke this listen for updates guy. And the listen for updates guy is who adds that client to a SignalR group. So think about it like this. You've got a chat room with or a chat board with multiple rooms. If you log into that chat board and you jump into the ASP.NET room, you only want to get messages that have gone to the ASP.NET room. You don't want to get messages that go to the Java room because it's not really a topic of interest to you. So in this context, whenever that user's order is completed, he's going to subscribe to the hub and say, here's my client ID. Whenever you get a message from the on-prem site, bless you, with my client ID, I want you to let me know what just happened. And inside of the hub, I'm going to basically fire this status updated, and I'm just going to pass it the string status that I got from that service. We're shipping your pizza, we're making your pizza, whatever the case may be. Whenever that comes in, this is going to be invoked. This is kind of like an event handler in JavaScript. It's going to take that status, and it's just going to drop it right into an area on the page, and then I'm going to animate it to make it more interesting than just a message popping up on the screen. Plus, you can't really see it unless it animates. Plus, when Pranav did this demo, he added the animation, and I thought, ooh, good idea. So I did it. I stole his idea. All right, so I'm going to close all this down. And I've got this running over here so you can see my relays wired up again. Make sure that my website is selected. It is. I'm going to run this guy. Go through the same setup process again. Once my website spins up and my relays are up in the cloud, I'm going to launch my internal worker app. But again, since your website's running in Azure, you're not going to have to do that because it's always going to be there. That service is always going to be there unless you hit the stop button or you use my team's SDK to stop your website, as you probably saw me do on Tuesday. Point is, once that site is running, my WCF service is hosted there. The relay is out in Service Bus. I just have to send messages to Service Bus, and they get relayed. Now, in this case, I'm going to fire up two classes start two relays up the service bus, so it might take just a second or two longer for it to run. Now, if I go over here, looky there. Now I have my website inventory service running, and I have my order status service running right here on my web application, on my web server, an IIS in Windows Azure Websites. And whenever I run the next guy, the internal worker app, remember he's also got a WCF service that he hosts. That's going to be an implementation of that inventory service. It's going to reach out to service bus, say, I want you to light up my relay for me so that people can send messages to me, so that when the 16-year-old runs out of pepperoni, he can let me know and I can send out the trucks. Once that starts up, I don't have to wait for it. I'll go ahead and do the order billboard. Go ahead and run this guy, debug. And in this one, we're actually going to send out an order again because I want to tell the user the status of their order. So that's going to run, maybe.
Maybe.
Demo fail potential. Everybody ready? All right. Now look what happened. Now I've got the website inventory service running, corporate office inventory service running, and my order status service running. So everybody's up and running. There, I've subscribed there. Just gotten my stuff back. All ready to go. Got to expand this a little bit because I blow the text up pretty heavily. I'm going to hit send here. You're going to see the corporate office get the order, process the order, send the order back into service bus, and then the store is going to get the order, and they're going to run off and get the pepperoni and get the sauce and toss the dough and all that good stuff. The internet connection here is killing me. All right, so the order has submitted. I'm waiting for the status. Bam. See that? Store got the order. I got a few more, so if you missed it, you'll see it again. I've made your pizza. I'm from Washington, so that message always cracks me up. Your pizza is about to be baked. Washington? Yeah, sorry. Bad jokes. Pizza's been cooked. Your pizza's ready to come home. Getting excited. Kickoff's getting ready to happen. Where's that freaking pizza, man? I need my pizza. Your pizza has left the building. You get it? Now we can do real time through service bus. Have your service hosted. You can turn around and spit signal our messages up to the client. Is that groovy? You guys like that? Is that cool? All right. Now, uncharted territory. Let me go ahead and make a disclaimer. I am not that great of a Java programmer. I'm probably the worst Java programmer you'll ever meet. I've done maybe 20, 30 lines of Java, and I did that yesterday. Okay? But that is a testament to something. That is a testament to the team that I work with. I do not do Java. I have used Eclipse for a total of 7 hours, 6 and 45 of which were getting it configured right. Okay? Anybody ever configure Eclipse? It's also fantastic, right? Thank goodness for Mads and his tooling team. They've just, here, party. Go crazy. So what I'm going to do now, so I'm going to go back over to my portal right here, and I'm going to show you that I have all this stuff running. I haven't deployed anything out to the cloud yet. I'll do that during this guy. But what I want to do real quickly is, I want to go over here to my team's GitHub repo. Now, if I show you the URL for this, it is github.com/Windows Azure. And then this one right here is the Azure SDK for Java. And like I said, I have done maybe an hour of coding with Java. Not a whole lot. I installed Eclipse. I pulled in the Maven package for this project. I took my buddy Albert's code, which is right down here, and I pasted it in and I ran it and it worked. So I just saved a message up into a blob. And I'm thinking, well, that's really not appropriate for my demo because I want to show the interchange. I want to show the interaction back and forth. So that's what I wanted to show you in this. So what I did was I clicked through the code. I looked at the IntelliSense in Eclipse. I took a good look at like all the objects and everything that are in there, and I could figure it out based on the suggestiveness of the IntelliSense and from looking at the code. I could just extrapolate the code that I needed to write in Java. I am not a Java programmer. It took me about 45 minutes to put this demo together yesterday. And that's over the hotel internet. Okay? So why do I point all that out? Because if I can do this, anybody can do this. Like, I'm just not a big Java guy. Just never learned it. I'm a .NET addict. Okay? Anybody else .NET addicts? Do you refute the polyglot commentary? Okay, I do as well. I love .NET. Now, I don't know how to increase the font size in Eclipse, so forgive me. Does that tell you how well I know Eclipse? I can't even increase the font size. So what I've done here, and this signature looks almost identical to how it looks in Java, and there's a lot of reasons for that. We wanted to be good citizens for Java programmers, but we also wanted to be good citizens for Azure. We don't want to make the syntax too different between the platforms because we want you to be able to figure out what to do. So I'm going to create a Q client. I'm going to pass it on my creds. Then I'm going to create a loop that just runs forever. Probably want to do this in a more elegant fashion, but it's just a demo, forgive me. Okay? I'm going to create a loop. I'm going to reach out to my, not service bus. It's not a service bus queue. This is a storage queue. But this SDK also has service bus functionality in it. So all the enterprise pizza stuff that you've seen me do, if you like Swing or Spring or whatever the GUI stuff in Java is, you can do that too. You can use this SDK to do all the service bus stuff. You could build this entire application on the client side using our Java SDK. And it's open source. Feel free to make contributions. Feel free to look at it. Any Java people in the room? Okay, good. So you don't know how bad this code is. Awesome. Okay. So I'm just showing you this code here because the code looks exactly the same in .NET. The capitalization might even be the same, which might not be bad citizenry, but doesn't matter. So there's the Java application. Now what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to do a deployment. This will be the first time I've done a deployment of this and actually tried it from the cloud. I have faith. Now what I'll do real quickly, just to show you the similarity, so I'm going to open up this default ASPX page here, and this is a really silly demo. We're just going to throw messages into the cloud and then get them in the Java side. But what I want to do here is I want to get rid of these windows, and I'm going to scroll down so you can kind of see the signature. And I did it Fluent style. I didn't do it the easy way. Anybody like Fluent coding out there? Fluent syntax freaks like me? Now, look at the similarity of this code. If I could zoom in on this, I would. Cloud storage account. Cloud storage account. I've got create cloud client, create cloud Q client. Exactly the same method with the Java lowercase c. Okay? So I just want to show you that our SDK has pretty much syntactic parity across languages until you get to something like Ruby or Python, and then you got to count white space and stuff like that. But you get the idea? So we've got all these SDKs for all these different languages. Pretty much if the language runs in Windows Azure, we can give you an SDK to work with. Sort of makes sense, right? If you want to run your stuff in Azure to access storage queues, you need an SDK that runs in that language. Okay, so we've got those languages all the way out there. I don't have the grid to show you what the parity looks like right now. But I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to debug this. And this is not a very sexy demo, I apologize. I'm going to run this guy, and I'm going to get this so that you can actually see my trace window here. And now I'm just going to run the .NET side. And what's going to happen is I'm going to get input from the user. I'm going to take that input, throw it into a Windows Azure storage queue. The Java application in my on-premise environment, somebody I was talking to the other day mentioned WebSphere. So you could do this through WebSphere. You could like hook this into your Oracle Java stuff if you wanted to. So now I can go over to my website, move this over here. And I wonder if I can get these two close enough to each other that I could zoom in on it for you. Oh, of course I would do that. Sorry about that. Mads is way better at this than I am. I'm going to zoom in on this guy. Work. I warned you I'm not good at Java. It'll take just a second to run. The internet connection here is challenging. Maybe it won't work. Maybe I won't be able to hit the web. That's odd. Worked yesterday. Like surfers always say, the waves were great yesterday. You should have been here yesterday. Of course, there you go. See that? So I'm getting all that stuff out right now. Now, just to show you that I'm not actually smoke and mirroring you to death, I'm going to leave that Java app running. I'm going to go over here to my Solution Explorer. Mads and I are two of three amigos. The third is a gentleman named Syed Hashimi. All the stuff that you'll see right here is Syed Hashimi's work. Syed's made the publishing experience in Visual Studio an absolute piece of cake. So I'm going to click Import, and I've set up my Azure subscription locally on my computer right here so I can actually just pull down my list of websites. I'm going to go down here and select TechEd AU Surprise Demo. It's going to pull in my publish settings. And I'll just click Publish here. And once that publish runs, once everything is published out to the Windows Azure websites, it's actually going to fire up that URL. And I will ask you, as I did during my SignalR talk, that if you want to play along with this demo, please be nice, because it's going to be recorded and be on Channel 9. I know that's a suicidal request, but, you know, just be nice. Once that publishes, it's going to spin up the app in my browser. And when it does, that site will be running out in Windows Azure website. So this is when the app is actually running in the cloud. And I've got my on-prem Java app running that's going to do trace write line of all the messages that I'm going to send it. But you can imagine if you've got all your, you know, JDBC stuff wired up, you've got a Java enterprise application that you need to talk to. How many of you have had to integrate with a mainframe system, a legacy system? Everybody always throws out Java as the first stop there. Guess what? You can start your migration to the cloud. You don't have to gut that much. You can just use our SDK, put all your Java code in. You can access the Windows Azure SDK, displace what you need to displace up to the cloud, and then you can just party all day long. It worked. Awesome. It's the first time I've ever done Java on stage. You have no idea how happy I am that that did not blow up. All right, so I just want to point that out again for those of you in the room that are Java guys, or for those of you in the room that work with Java guys, you need to move your stuff to the cloud. You don't know how to do it because you can only move some of your stuff. You don't want to deploy your Java apps to the cloud for whatever reason. You can use this SDK and you can integrate with Azure from your client side, whatever your client happens to be, including Android. So you'd actually access your Java, your Windows Azure applications using an Android phone. The stuff that I talked about on Tuesday with the Service Management SDK, that's going to be written as a portable class library. We're going to give you the ability to access all those Azure resources from your Windows phone, from your Xamarin devices, from Monocode, wherever you want. You'll be able to do all that stuff. And the same thing is true for most of the SDKs for the consumer SDKs. Last thing I want to talk about, I'm not going to do any big demos with this one. But one of the things that we've done recently, Vittorio has been the leader of this mission. We've been rethinking identity. We've been rethinking identity somewhat. Windows Azure Active Directory. You can put all of your Active Directory stuff up into Windows Azure, or you can create a sync between your on-premise Windows Azure Active Directory. It's like rolls up on tongue so effectively. Your on-prem ADFS, you can actually sync to your Windows Azure Active Directory stuff, put all of your applications into Windows Azure, and then you can authenticate, and it will authenticate back to your ADFS. So I do want to point out that we have been doing that. What's nice about some of the tools that Syed's given you in Visual Studio is he's actually given you a way to enter in your credentials. It's a very simple tool that you can do. The WYSIWYG, Mads showed it on Tuesday, the little manage authentication box when you do a new website project. You can basically set up Visual Studio to put all the configuration into your website so that you can authenticate against your O365 domain. Then you can get that web config stuff, push your app up into Windows Azure websites, and you can use your O365 creds to log in to your Windows Azure website. You don't have to push it to your O365 server, and you don't have to do one other very important thing. You don't have to recreate your security environment over in your Windows Azure website. You can authenticate against your existing O365 users. And those are all tools that are new in Visual Studio 2013 for auth. All right? The other thing that you can do is you can federate your Windows Azure website and your on-prem AD directly with Office 365 or your on-prem ADFS boxes. So you can do all that stuff directly through Windows Azure Active Directory now, and you don't have to worry too much about recreating the wheel when it comes to auth. We've also given you things like Twitter and Facebook, so you can do that as well. Pretty easy stuff. All right, a couple of resources. You want to take a picture of this? I'll back up a little bit here. Channel 9 website screencasts. Subscribe is a great show on Channel 9. It's Clemens Vaster's service bus stuff. So if the aspect, I'm good. If the aspects of service bus that we've talked about here have been the most interesting to you, I highly encourage you to take a look at Clemens's channel, because that's when you're going to learn all the deep guts of service bus from the wizard himself. So he can go much more deep in notification hubs and da-da-da-da-da. I have a couple of blog posts on websites, and I wrote one that was websites and service bus. It was kind of the genesis of this talk. It's kind of how I started doing this integration stuff. You're going to see more tools coming out to make it easier for you to do these kinds of relays. It's going to just make it easier for you to integrate with your on-prem environment using websites. Scott Woodgate did a great talk at TechEd North America, Building Modern Business Applications, and he focused on websites with that and integrated with all this stuff that we've talked about already. I did one at TechEd North America. It's very similar to this demo. This talk is kind of seems to be resounding with some people, because it seems like there's always a full audience whenever we do it. People want to dip their foot in the cloud, so it kind of helps out. And then on this one, this is really good. I mean, Mads and Scott and I know Vittorio, we know Clemens. The idea of the two of them being in a room interviewing one another is terrifying. It's like too much brain, you know? So these guys are just awesome, and they actually have a show where they talk about Active Directory and Service Bus, and it's just fantastic. So I take a look at that. I've AKA MS'd it for you, so you don't have to know the whole Channel 9 shows, blah, 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 blah stuff. If you want to learn more about websites, I have a bunch of blog posts on it. There are a lot of resources on WindowsAzure.com. The Windows Azure Evangelism team, our buddy Corey Fowler, he's actually the PM kind of over the Windows Azure training kit. What are we up to, like 120 different HOLs? So we have all kinds of hands-on labs. We have all kinds of presentations out there that you can actually take a peek at. And we actually want you to reuse those guys. We want you to take those and go out into the world and give those presentations yourselves. And while I'm on that topic, one thing that I want to show you real quickly is one more GitHub URL. I'm going to go over here to Brady Gaster. That's probably going to ask me to log in. All right. And if I were to go right here to repositories, if I scroll down here, Enterprise Pizza Demo. Here's the URL. Everything you just saw me do, except for the Java app, is out in GitHub, including the deck. Anybody do community presentations? Do lunch and learns at your office? Take it. Take it. Do whatever you want with it. Take my name off of it, please. You don't want to represent it like that. But feel free to take this code. Use it yourself, play with it yourself, set up a couple service bus namespaces and play with it. Do demonstrations at your local user groups on it. Get the message out, because I think I've shown you here, it's pretty easy. There's a lot of possibilities. You can take all the technology that you know and love, WCF, Web, ASP.NET, SignalR, da-da-da-da-da, and you can set all that up in the cloud and set up an integration between your on-prem environment and your cloud and start moving your stuff little by little as you need or as you want out to Windows Azure. Thank you for choosing my demo. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope that you've enjoyed your week at TechEd. I'm not going to say that I hope you've listened to Andrew and drank deep, but you probably have anyway. Thanks a lot. Have a safe trip home. Already gave him out. Already gave him out. Yeah. If you have any questions, I'll be around for a little while. Please do your evals. Be nice. Be honest.